After all, in a way, you didn't actually see it. It wasn't in the room because it was defining what the room was. Could you actually be poisoned by the walls? He hardly dared think the thought. If he let his mind settle on the suspicion, it'd twist and fly away like all the others. But this was it, said his secret soul. All the messing around with suspects and clues, that was just something to keep the body amused while the back of the brain toiled away. Every real copper knew you didn't go around looking for clues so that you could find out who done it. No, you started out with a pretty good idea of who done it. That way, you knew what clues to look for. He wasn't going to have another day of bafflement interspersed with desperately bright ideas, was he? It was bad enough looking at Corporal Littlebottom's expression, which seemed to be getting a little more colourful every time he saw it. He'd said, "Ah, arsenic's a metal, right, so maybe the cutlery has been made of it." He wouldn't forget the look on the dwarf's face, as Cheery tried to explain that, yes, it might be possible to do that, provided you were sure that no one would notice the way it dissolved in the soup almost instantly. This time, he was going to think first.
The Hearl of Honk, Corporal the Right Honourable Lord C.W. St. J. Nobbs.
The buzz of conversation stopped. Heads turned. Somewhere in the crowd, someone started to laugh and was hurriedly shushed into silence by their neighbours. Lady Selachi came forward. She was a tall, angular woman with the sharp features and aquiline nose that were the hallmarks of the family. The impression was that an axe was being thrown at you. Then she curtsied. There were gasps of surprise around her, but she glared at the assembled guests, and there was a smattering of bows and curtsies. Somewhere at the back of the room, someone started to say, "But the man's an absolute oik," and was cut off. "Has someone dropped something?" said Nobby nervously. "I'll help you look if you like."
The footman appeared at his elbow, bearing a tray.
"He drink, milord," he said.
"Yeah, okay, a pint of Winkles," said Nobby.
Jaws fell, but Lady Selachi's rose to the occasion.
"Winkles," she said. "He type of beer, your ladyship," said the footman.
Her ladyship hesitated only a moment.
"I believe the butler drinks beer," she said. "See to it, man, and I'll have a pint of Winkles too. What a novel idea."
This caused a certain effect among those guests who knew on which side of the biscuit their pâté was spread.
"Indeed. Capital suggestion. A pint of Winkles here too. Ho, ho, ho! Oh, great! Winkles for me! Winkles all round! But the man's an absolute tight. Shut up."
Vimes crossed the brass bridge with care, counting the hippos. There was a ninth shape, but it was leaning against the parapet and muttering to itself in a familiar, and to Vimes at least, an unmenacing way. Faint air movements wafted towards him a smell that outsmelled even the river. It proclaimed that ahead of Vimes was a ding-a-ling so big he'd been upgraded to a clang-a-lang.
"Buggering. Oh, I told him. Stand it up and pull the end off, millennium end and shrimp, I told him. Oh, says I, and would they poke?"
"Evening, Ron," said Vimes, without even bothering to look at the figure. Foul old Ron fell into step behind him.
"Bugger it. They done me out of it, so they did."
"Yes, Ron," said Vimes.
"And shrimp, bugger it, I say. Oh, bread it on the butter side. Queen Molly says to watch your back, mister."
"What was that?"
"Souter fry it," said foul old Ron innocently. "Trouser the lot of them if they did me out of it. Them and their big weasel."
The beggar lurched around, and filthy coat dragging its hems along the ground, limped away into the fog. His little dog trotted along in front of him. There was pandemonium in the servants' hall.
"Winkle's old peculiar," said the butler.
"Another 104 pints," said the footman.
The butler shrugged.
"Harry, Sid, Rob and Geoffrey, two trays apiece and doubled down to the King's Head again right now. What else is he doing?" "Well, they're supposed to be having a poetry reading, but he's telling them jokes."
"Anecdotes?"
"Not exactly."
It was amazing how it could drizzle and fog at the same time. Wind was blowing both through the open window, forced to shut it. He lit the candles by his desk and opened his notebook. Probably he should use the demonic organiser, but he likes to see things written down fair and square. He could think better when he wrote things down. He wrote arsenic and drew a big circle round it.